Welcome to the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast in the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack 12 Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Quack. Quack.
Well then, ow! I'm your host, Adam Jamail.
And I'm Aaron Schroeder.
That's right. This is the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks sporting podcast on the web footosphere. And Aaron, we did not play a game of football last week.
Which means we reign victorious yet again.
We reign victorious
again. Adam.
Still
you can't
undefeated.
Beat us on a Saturday. And that's what this
win.
Last Saturday proved.
But we didn't lose. Absolutely. On a neutral field, I suppose you can say. Aaron, it was still pretty cool. You know, I'm really doubling down. I'm just really learning that my denial of not being in the Pac-12 anymore will never cease. And, you know, here. Pac-12, they're adding schools left and right. I've lost.
Oh!
Yeah, like the Pac-2 is no more. They're almost right at the threshold where they're in official
conference. I saw there
conference.
Was 6 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they added a bunch of state schools, some states.
Right.
Including Boise State. That's probably the biggest get, I'd say.
Oh, Boise.
They're adding some more, like Tulane possibly, a bunch of others. It's making me jealous, honestly. I miss being it because I hate the Big Ten. I still don't consider myself part of the Big Ten.
Brother,
I think some of the schools are interesting, but I don't know.
We're playing with the big boys now. We're on the big screen, prime time.
It's true. I feel like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're one natty away from the entire defensive line doing a rap song Christmas commercial.
We're also one natty away from never doing an episode of this podcast again. So that's pretty sweet.
You know,
that's sweet, sweet retirement. And then we can start our real podcast.
Yeah.
The real
it's about
one.
Ducks.
That's the actual ducks. That's right.
Yeah.
Ducks.
It is about ducks.
But Aaron, I find myself like an ex-boyfriend watching all my exes. You know, my Arizona
do you
State.
Really?
I watch Cal. I'm watching Cal lose to Florida State in very Cal ways, you know. I watched Wazoo just barely, and I'm talking barely, freaking scrape by a San Jose State team 2 overtimes late night on Friday. I love Washington State, by the way. They're like my freaking team nowadays, and especially since they beat the Huskies.
Interesting.
I'm watching Oregon State beat Purdue. I guess that's kind of Big Ten related. Yeah.
You're Wazoo Pac-12 fan.
I'm would just all
you
the
relegate the fandom
Pac-12.
To them to be inside your love of the Pac-12, or would you say as a team in the actual game of football, you're like, I love this team.
It's a team in the game of football, especially the storyline. It all comes down to storylines, right?
Sure.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. There were some Big Ten games that totally lived up to the hype. We will be covering them. But I just miss my own guys. Stanford wins the game against Syracuse. Aaron,
I mean,
this
okay.
is how ridiculous college football is. Stanford, a Bay Area school, played mm-hmm. Syracuse, a school that's basically in Canada, and mm-hmm. it was a goddamn conference game.
That's a trip.
You can't get further away than those two schools.
That is actually reality. Kind of a trip. But we've got the Terrapins.
Yeah, we do.
You know?
Them, don't we?
And I love them. And they're, you know, it's the bi-coastal thing, man. We unite. That's why the Pac-10 is cooler for us.
Yeah.
And let also,
me,
this
let
is
me show you something here, actually. Let's skip a little ahead here.
Uh-oh.
Who do you like the most? I mean, okay, Oregon and Washington aren't included in this graphic I've got. And YouTube watchers can see what I'm talking about. It's just a picture of all the teams. Is Maryland your favorite still out of all the Big Ten teams? That isn't a duck.
Well, right. Let's all just assume Oregon takes the place of number one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Terrapins, I just, everything about that specific logo, A, is really dope.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I mean, come on, it's the Grateful Dead song. They have, and if it's a
that
town
seems like
it's
mainly, that's the main perk for
it's
you,
kind of a big part of it. And I mean, like they probably, I assume they have to lean into it, right? If they're a little town like Eugene.
Yeah, they are a little, I suppose. I have no idea, man. I
mean, again, I would lean into it. I would make that the fourth quarter song because it's like, it's a whole record. So you would just be like, all right, well, 22 minutes later.
You know the song, you know the song, Mr. Bright Eyes?
Yeah, I know it through its memory. I'm not for sure I've heard the original.
You know,
I'm getting out of my bed. I'm getting up.
Yeah, yeah. So Michigan.
Yeah, I've heard this song. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I knew this already, you know, but Michigan is super into that song. Like we are in Shout. Why? I don't know.
The worst.
I know. I didn't like it either. I'm just saying I feel awkward in this new conference of ours. I miss the Cals. I miss Stanford. I miss Wahoo. I wish I missed Washington, but they're still around.
Dude,
I don't know.
It's amazing how quickly you forget just what a terrible relationship we were actually trapped inside of, because the Pac-12 was trash, dude. For real and period, it was trash. It was trash fire that schools got duped into being a part of.
Okay.
That all these fucking big wig fat cats were making stacks and not even giving a good quality product. Now we're in the Big Ten with bigger fat cats who are like, you know what? We'll give you a little. The production value of these games, brother, don't even get me started. We are we're in a way better place.
You may be that friend I needed, you know, that like met my shitty ex-boyfriend when we were currently in the relationship. And you can recognize it because you haven't been there since day one. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Right. I'm helping you get over the person who had the relationship.
In my head, I'm
actually a prisoner.
In my head, I'm like, fuck this shit. Let's go back to the Pac-12. Boise State,
I am the comment section. This is going to get really in the weeds and very specific. A lot of people will have no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay, and then we'll bring on Hitler.
I am the comment section. You are the video of the boyfriend eating the Chinese takeout meal that his girlfriend got him and was like, aren't I the greatest girlfriend ever? And he was like, yes. And she was like,
I don't know this
video. Brother, it's a trip. Go check it out.
You are the podcast TikTok expert.
Brother, I'm a junkie. I am addicted to TikTok. Yeah, very real. Very real.
Absolutely. Go over to the Quack12 TikTok to see a video every once in a while. That will be our promise.
That's right.
Not regularly, but every once in a while. Speaking of every once in a while, let's bring our dear friend that every once in a while, mainly at least once a week, we have on this podcast to help break down,
the game, how it went, how we won, all of our successes.
What happened
in
Bi?
We played it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. We didn't win. We didn't lose. We didn't get too hot. Didn't get too cold. Let's bring on from Addicted to Quack, Hithla Day. Hello, Hithla Day. How is it going?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It felt, as always, it felt a little strange not to have Oregon football on. Like, I wanted some some anxiety, some endorphins. I got a little of it, mainly out of watching some other crazy games. There weren't too many upsets that I remember anyways, but I loved that Wazoo game. I'm sure you watched that. I loved that. Did you catch any of that crazy BYU game?
I did watch some of that game. Yeah,
that was,
I mean, it was like the last game on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Yeah, it ended early, and then, like, I feel like the Saturday early on, there was just kind of nothing intriguing going on. There's just a bunch of...
Yeah, the morning slate was boring, and then the noon slate, like, had a bunch of, like, had a bunch of, like, bangers simultaneously that then fizzled out.
Yeah.
And then the evening into the late slate had some like craziness, which is, yeah, there you go. That's standard. But then the the craziest game of the weekend was on Friday, you know, with that Illinois Nebraska, you know, matchup,
which was truly, it really was fantastic. And I think we all,
It was fantastic. I mean, this is all of college football in a nutshell. Like, most of the games that were like, I can't stop watching this, this is like amazing college football, is amazing because it's like, wow, these teams are incomplete, and like their incompleteness matches up with each other.
Yeah.
And it's like watching a dysfunctional relationship and like a couple that shouldn't be together tear
each
other apart.
That's the theme of the show, actually.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. We were just talking about that.
I loved again that Wazoo game, both of them throwing interceptions in overtime when all he needed was a field goal to win.
Yep.
Immediately chucks it down the field. It was so good, man. Wazoo was really looking down too. I had fun eventually. There was like some chaos where it's like, oh, is UCLA gonna do anything? No, not really.
We'll get into other out of conference action, how like TCU was talking a bunch of trash about SMU in the Iron
Skillet game. That makes sense.
And like being on the CW, and then SMU proceeds to lay the smackdown on them.
Exactly. Didn't their coach?
And then both the SMU and the CW get in on making fun of them on Twitter.
So I love the CW. CW's also been fun as hell to watch, mainly because I just like that it's just on, you know, on my TV, and I'm not used to seeing it there.
I've been rewatching Dawson's Creek. Not gonna lie.
And
I'm down that they broadcast over the air in 1080p 60fps, actually 5994, but anyway, the unlike ESPN, which is still in the dark ages, 720 290 97, and they put up their replays, you know, in the morning on their website. Now the replay is actually not high quality.
CW is in the football game now.
We've been talking about this for a while, but CW.
That was before the game. TCU put up, it was like a parody of the old ESPN, you know, the ESPN ad where they're in the office. But then the tagline is supposed to be, you know, it's Saturday, must be ESPN. But then, you know, the tagline is, it's got the horn frog, you know, the mascot. And it's like, it must be the CW, because they were on the AC, because the SMU is now in the ACC. The ACC has a deal to put certain games on the CW.
Wow. I had no idea.
Except, what we learned last year was that the ACC game that's on the CW every week is like a crazy upset game every week. It's like must watch football.
Yeah.
Well, it happened yet again, you know, so TCU was trying to get one up on their rival, you know, SMU, for being in the ACC and being on a, you know, quote unquote bad network.
Right. I thought they were just calling them corny. Just saying your CW just means you're corny, bro.
It was actually
the
tagline to the ad is that they play the, you know, the I Don't Want to Wait, you know, song from Dawson's Creek, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so then SMU beats the hell out of them. And you know,
that's awesome.
So the SMU gets back on them. TCU has this thing on Twitter where they put up like crazy. Remember those Quiznos ads that were like
the potato
crazy
weird
meth
thing?
Dream? Yeah, right.
A little weird.
So TCU's been doing those for years. So SMU did an ad that was in the style of that. You know, but it was about being on the CW, so that was fun. And then the CW got in on like the official network.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, Twitter mm-hmm. feed got in on dunking on TCU.
Absolutely,
yeah, man. TCU yeah, and so boring. Aaron,
TCU's coach Sonny Dykes, who coached at SMU beforehand, got ejected from the game. Even and then there's more. There's some more. I think this is a fun time to look around.
Some nice Christian valued. Coach, yeah, exactly. Seems like.
Well, speaking
probably anti, very much in line with the school.
There's anti-Christian values too. We're talking about Cal, the godless Cal Golden Bears had this whole, you know, the off season or the off field stuff was probably a little more exciting than what happened on the field. Oh, everyone knew
the game was very ACC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's very Cal, like choking it away in that way. It was
like in the prediction thread. Everybody in the world who wasn't Pac-12. You know, familiar was picking Cal to win, you know, because like 3-0 team versus 0-3 team. And then anybody who was familiar at all with Cal, including all the Cal fans, were like, oh yeah, Florida State is a mortal lock. Cal against a winless team. Oh yeah.
Oh, like absolutely. And especially it's like, no, but they just got some upsets. Like they're off some upsets. It's like, yeah, this is how it works. This is Cal. Yeah. That's their non-con. Yeah. So Cal, the best part about it, Aaron, was just all online, basically all on Twitter. All of Cal's nerdy Berkeley fans came out of like the woodwork to like all of a sudden be posting like crazy because they had just beaten like Auburn. And whenever they play in the South, like when they played Ole Miss, I believe back in the day, they get called like commies, like a lot, on the field. Like they're called like commies, leftists, like nut jobs.
I might have seen something about this.
Yeah, all these memes came out. They were so damn funny where it'd be like they'd have like Karl Marx's face plastered on Oski the Bear with like red glowing eyes saying like, we want your guns, or like we're coming for Tallahassee, Florida, you know, and just being like rainbow flags on like garbage bins that said like, put your guns here, like all, you know, like just really hysterical things like that. Then the game happened and it was as bad as Florida State versus Cal. And Cal has a history of being the team that gives the winless team their first win. Like that is what Cal does. So I agree. Anyone who knows Cal football knew that was going to happen. There was some craziness. It was kind of nice.
This was a great weekend to have off for Oregon, because there's like all three of the Friday games finished as one score games. Two of them go to overtime, right? The third one is Stanford Syracuse, which Stanford wins, in a last second field goal, 26-24. Classic ACC banger there, Stanford Syracuse. what else? Tennessee, beats the hell out of Oklahoma. It doesn't look like it from the final score, but trust me, it was like, and more to the point, like the quarterback that they chased Dylan Gabriel out for, Jackson Arnold, gets benched because he's, he looks like he's just a complete bust at this point. So like all the Oklahoma fans are like, can we have Dylan Gabriel back?
they were literally saying, like many of them were saying, it's like, yeah, Dylan Gabriel's gone, but no, this is actually a huge positive for us because now our guy can step in. Like that was
He gets benched for a true freshman.
Colorado.
Oh my God, that game against Baylor, where Baylor has like a 99.9% win expectancy, and then Colorado throws a Hail Mary earlier in the game. They don't get it. There was like a missed flag or something on it. Later they throw a Hail Mary, like literally the last second, and somehow the dude catches it. So now we're in overtime.
It was crazy. It was like it was a crazy Hail Mary too, Aaron. And before the guy had just dropped it on the like the 2 yard line. Like it looked like they had already blown the shop. It was like, oh, so we go to overtime.
So Colorado scores first. I think it's a pass to Travis Hunter. Like Travis Hunter is the entire game
for
Colorado. And then, you know, Baylor is going in to score to, you know, take it to the second overtime period. Travis Hunter hits the dude just before he crosses the end line. He fumbles out the back of the end zone, end of the game. So Baylor goes from like 99% because they're up by a touchdown with, you know, clock reads triple zeros with the ball in the air and they're up by a touchdown and they still manage to lose this game to Colorado.
Insane.
It was, there's so much more I could keep going. Like Vanderbilt took Mizzou to the, you know, overtime. Like Vanderbilt looked like a better team. That's not true. Actually, Mizzou looked like a better team. They were just kept making mistakes.
There was that UNC game and James Madison.
Oh my God. James Madison put up 70 on North Carolina. And North Carolina looked like they were coming back and going to win the game at the end. Like James Madison just kind of held them off.
Yeah,
like,
but it was 70 to 50.
Combined score was 120 points.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Jeez.
Utah beat Oklahoma State. It wound up being a 3-point game at the end, but like Utah was pretty firmly in control of the thing. Oklahoma State is Oregon's non-con opponent next year, so I've been keeping an eye on them. And that was Utah playing without Cam Rising yet again. He's hurt yet again. He's
gonna these people not knowing Utah, where they were like, oh, well, you know, they said Cam Rising, I bet Cam Rising will play. It's like, no, it doesn't matter what Kyle Whittingham says about Cam Rising. He's not going to play.
Ole Miss and Bama have a weird ending?
No, they didn't even play. Alabama's, I think, was on bye.
Yeah.
I think Ole Miss
just kicked some butt.
Oh, yeah. Who did Ole Miss play?
They played someone, Georgia Southern, and they just won.
How weird.
There's nothing.
Mississippi State might be who you're thinking of. Mississippi State and Florida played like a struggle fest of bad teams. And then I don't know, like it was unwatchable to start the game. And then when I flipped back around to like, I started to watch it cause it was like almost fascinating, like watching a car wreck, you know, like the game starts out with, I think, 5 consecutive 3 and outs. And then I flip back around to it and the game finished up 45-28. And I was like, oh, I guess we found something. I assumed
Florida was going to win just because like how Mississippi State looked up going into that game. I'm like, if Arizona State can push you around that much, then I don't know. But, also, I didn't watch this game at all, but interesting result is like Northern Illinois losing to Buffalo, maybe knocking them out of that like group of five, or at least a huge blow to their group of five chances. I'm rooting for Wazoo now, full on. They're playing Boise State coming up here. So that's a huge game for their chances of maybe making it to the playoffs, which would be like such a cool storyline. And then like, oh, you know what's sad? Hitherto, I don't think you really watch many like YouTube highlights, I bet. I think you have other sources, but nowadays when I'm trying to watch like Oregon State, because sometimes I won't be able to watch the whole game, and I'll just look for one of those standard, like, you know, I'm looking for at least 8 minutes. It'd be nice if there were a 20-minute highlight thing. For Oregon State, you're lucky if you get 3. And you can tell, even the ones that you do get, the comments, there'll be like 30 comments of people being like, thank God there's even that someone put up this 6-minute crappy one. Like, thank God we have this. I've been looking everywhere and I can't find. Like, I do feel bad for their fans, but I like the CW. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about that game because it was a Big Ten game.
That's right. It was a Big Ten game. Yeah, there was some fun results. That Colorado game was insane. And like, it goes to show, because in my head, that was like the surest bet when you looked at all the spreads. I was like, oh, no way, Colorado. I don't think Colorado.
Oh, man. Nobody's going broke betting against Dave Aranda at Baylor. Like, I don't, that guy's like cursed. I mean, there's a couple of coaches who I think are better coaches. who are like, I think they probably run a better program and are better coaches and are like going to be valuable when they're eventually fired than their record indicates. And it's like, this team must just be cursed.
well, I mean, they showed
we're going to talk about one of them, but like Dave Aranda at Baylor is one of them. Like I think he's a good coach and I think he probably runs Baylor well. And it's just the program is cursed. Like,
they showed that clip of like, was it in the 90s or something? Colorado doing a Hail Mary to beat Baylor. And then they did a Hail Mary like three plays later. Oh, it was fun times. Oh, Colorado. I miss you. Okay.
No, Adam, I'm telling you, you gotta let it go.
let's talk about all these other teams. They're all great. I mean, hey, no, there were some great, there's some fun Big Ten action.
Let's fun things that happen in the Big Ten, but like, like half of these teams are still in their they're out of conference thing. And the thing that you notice about the Big Ten, with the Oregon being the exception, in fact, according to the NCAA, the way the NCAA calculates strength of schedule is they just look at win loss of your opponents, like opponent win loss and then squared. Yeah. So like the opponent's win loss. According to the NCAA calculation, Oregon has had the hardest road in the of any college football team, because all of their opponents have won every game except for the games they played against Oregon. And then their opponents have won every game that they've played except for the teams that, you know, except for the game against Oregon's opponent. So it's like all the L's just flow up to Oregon. And so Oregon's number one in the NCAA metrics.
Nice. That's going to UCLA is going to throw that off. But yeah, right now.
Yeah, right. Good. Yeah. As soon as they play UCLA. Yeah, that'll go down the tubes, of course. But well, like
Idaho's helping us out.
So Oregon is the exception to what I am about to say. But the when you look at the way the Big Ten schedules, it's like they either will or will not play a decent Power Five team. So Penn State playing West Virginia, for example, they'll either do that or they won't. But then the rest of it, the other two or three games, are not just G5 and an FCS team, but like the worst team that they can find. You know, they're not scheduling like Boise State. They're trying to find like the worst possible opponent. And so like that's what a lot of these teams are in. So it's like Ohio State playing Marshall, Penn State playing Kent State, you know, Maryland playing Villanova, you know, et cetera. So like that's what a lot of the Big Ten is still in right now and will be until like week 5.
Yeah, we'll see though. But, I mean, yeah, it's getting down to at least all conference games, which I'm very excited about. Let's get into this wonderful conference of ours with a new and old segment, a recurring segment, whatever you want to call it, the bottom 11.
Bottom 11.
That is right. Yeah, the classic fart. Now, Oregon, let's tell you how this works, okay? Oregon's always going to be at the very top, basically outside of the 11. Right. The very bottom of this power ranking will always be Washington. So just get those out of your head. Oregon, number one, number zero almost, number O, if you will. And then Washington always at the bottom. Now, tied in the middle will be everyone else for 11th place. That is 16 correct teams tied right in the 11th place marker. So if math you want that, so
that's why it makes sense to call it the bottom 11, even though it's 16 teams.
16 teams the in math the Big sound. 10 on the Quack 12. Yes. Mm-hmm. All of them, yes. So, you know, this is a rough power rankings. This has a lot to do with my personal biases, my hatred, but also with what I'm seeing on the field. It's mainly for what you did last week, but it's also, yeah, you're probably the best team. And it also means nothing. So I don't really care for criticism. You know what I mean? I got Ohio State.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's be real. Let's be real. They're at the very top.
So these 11 teams are all tied, but some are more equal than others.
Yeah, it's like 11A, 11B, 11C, 11D.
Sure.
11D, 0.1, you know, there may be some of those.
Is this the order?
Sure, yeah, from top to left, and then it goes.
Don't top left.
Whatever you want.
Going rows. Go.
Like you're reading a book, if you will.
And here it is. And that's been the bottom 11.
That's the bottom 11.
And also, if you're listening to this on a podcast, this makes no sense at all.
Oh, no, it's not going to help at all. But on YouTube, roughly all I got, you know, written down here some results, but my top three, I'll say Ohio State and then Illinois, just because you entertained me. We all doubted you. Why not? And then Indiana, just because that's very fun to me too. I like that Indiana is still undefeated. Like, it's kind of crazy to me that they're still not ranked even. Not that they're beaten like
that's,
the toughest
that's
teams.
Totally poll inertia.
Yeah, it's really strange, but isn't like Texas A&M still ranked somehow or whatever? And then just for the top tier, I figured, you know, if you're undefeated, that should mean something. I know all schedules aren't the same, but undefeated should mean something. So you got to acknowledge that Rutgers is undefeated. You simply have to. And Penn State.
Gonna be.
And still going to be. And wow. Penn State is up there, too. Talking about some of these specific results, let's start off with number 24, Illinois beats number 22, Nebraska in overtime, 31 to 24. All three of us, yet I'll say it again, chose Nebraska in this just because it was at home. Illinois had, you know, they looked scrappy in wins, but they didn't look exactly efficient on really either side of the ball. But they certainly look scrappy in all their wins. They looked scrappy here too, and they very well could have lost. Like Nebraska, like Raiola, like Bear, he had someone that could have delivered the game-winning touchdown. What likely would have been a game-winning touchdown? Or
and, no, you know, yeah, I mean, there's a pick in the end zone. You know,
yeah, there was a pick in the end zone that could have been a touchdown. Like it was a very competitive game, but Illinois did what they've been doing. And they won a close, scrappy game. And Nebraska continued the tradition of losing a one-score game. Yeah. But in you know, it's got to make you feel at least a little better. Like, it, I don't know. I would feel better if I was a Nebraska fan. I'd probably super bummed. But at least you're, like, putting your hopes on a young, talented, Mahomes-esque, I guess, quarterback. You watched this game, Hitholday, I imagine. It was a packed Friday. Friday was a great game, a great night for football.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, in terms of, like, how much – the real thing that I want to talk about for this game is, like, how much did this game give me data that causes me to adjust my thinking about these teams versus my preseason expectations? Mm-hmm. For Nebraska – that's the prism I'm about to say this. For Nebraska's offense versus Illinois' defense, the answer is not much. Nebraska was pretty effectively moving the ball down the field, although, and the stuff that I was most concerned about, which is there's a freshman quarterback who makes some mistakes and their pass protection has some problems at times, which is what I was expecting. So, like, you know, they basically go three and out in this game like three times, which is, given the number of the drives that they have, that's about what, if they were a better offense, that would be fewer, but they have the problems that they have. And so, like, yeah, that's what I've been expecting. But they also, like, keep in mind, they throw a pick in the end zone. They also miss a field goal after like a 10 play drive. So it's like, it's pretty much the offense that I was expecting. And then they just have some bad luck in the red zone. Like, they should have had 10 more points than this. So, you know, that was, you know, Nebraska offense, Illinois defense is basically as I expected. The other side of the ball is what's, like, what's should make Nebraska fans really concerned, because Nebraska's and me concerned too, in terms of, like, you know, what I was observing. Because I had been touting Nebraska's defense as one of the real defenses in the Big Ten. Like, remember me talking about how, like, a number of the defenses in the Big Ten are not real defenses. Mm-hmm. They're just being propped up by bad offenses, especially in the Big Ten West, where Nebraska had been playing in the Big Ten West. The divisions have gone away, like, that the bubble has been burst. But I'm like, Nebraska's one of the ones where, like, they were, like, the 16th ranked defense, and they deserved it. They actually had a real secondary. Well, you know, I like their defensive front. want, you know, they're going to lose those guys, you know, because they're like 60 year seniors, but that, you know, they got them, you know, I like it. And in terms of like containing Illinois' scoring, they basically did an okay job, but they could not stop them from marching the field. Like, I'll try to do this quickly. I'll read the, like, the drive chart. Mm-hmm. Illinois goes on a 6-play, 78-yard touchdown drive. They fumble the ball in 2 plays. Next one is 8-play, 62-yard field goal, 9-play, 56-yard, you know, turn the ball over on downs, 9-play, 37 yards. They punt, 11-play, 57-yard touchdown, 9-play, 75-yard touchdown, another 2-play, you know, fumble, 8-play, 31-yard. And then you know, a 2-play touchdown, or that's overtime. So it's like, you know, which I think it's like 6 different drives where, mm-hmm. you know, they get two scores out of them, but they're sitting on the ball for like a combined something like, I forget what, it's like 63 plays in like 40 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, where like Nebraska can't get off the field. Like they can't, you know, get the third down stop, which is like, that's what they were really good at over the 3 years that I was charting them. And, you know, like, Nebraska fans should be worried that their defense is not actually for real. And I should be worried that I, you know, wasn't actually, you know, like, my whole deal is like, I should be able to see through a fake defense. And I'm worried that, like, I wasn't, that this is a fake defense and I wasn't able to see it. Like, I watched that entire game, like, gut rumbling, like, what the, this looked like a fake defense. You know what I mean?
Maybe he got corn pilled.
Yes, corn pilled.
I get it.
That's what, like, I'm seriously, like, you know, everybody wants to meme on Matt Rhule for you know, and Nebraska for like losing yet another one score game. But like, mm-hmm. that's what, like, really. And here's the other thing, Illinois. I'm not buying Illinois. You know, like, yeah, good for them, 4-0. You know, like,
but this, it's fun. Come on, it's,
yeah,
fun.
I know. I'm just saying the bubble's gonna burst. Like, I'm not betting on them going forward. Like, this game doesn't really change my
opinion. I know next week. Well, I mean, we're coming up with it, but like, even this week, they're getting another challenge. And but if they,
like, if you look at week. Like, if you look at Altmaier's passer ratings, yeah. air yards per attempt, he's still the quarterback that I think he was, which is just like, he's barely pushing the ball down the field. It's just efficiency stuff. They're just barely, like, they're just barely pushing the ball far mm-hmm. than far enough to keep the chains, you know, moving. The problem is all Nebraska's defense. If you're gonna buy versus sell stock on anybody for the outcome of this game, it's perhaps you need to sell stock in Nebraska's defense as a for real get you off the field thing. And like, people have been picking Nebraska as maybe a top 5 team in the mm-hmm. Big Ten because, hey, 5-star quarterback who's looking like the real deal on top of a real deal defense. Well, if they don't have a real deal defense and that can't buoy the freshman making freshman mistakes, like, this thing could collapse. Like, they were sort of building themselves around having a defense that freshman could rely on. I know I've been talking for a long time, but it's like, this potentially, like, upsets, you know, the power structure where this, you know, team goes from being like a top 5 team to the bottom 5 team.
This is like Thanos getting like the last stone, Aaron. I know you're a big Marvel guy, so.
Well, he is technically, or sorry, you said Thanos, and so I went to he, but. You know, Ithilday, we should remember they are actually in the bottom 5 because they are in the bottom, because they're in 11th place.
11, so they're 16, like, their penultimate teams, so that is, spot.
They're at the, yeah.
They're pretty down there, yeah. But because they are tied still. The other game, let's hop over to some other fun games, which is actually this mid-tier, which the mid-tier, that's a good name for this tier, actually, because I'm talking about, well, USC and Michigan. USC goes to the big house, and Hithaday, please correct me if I'm wrong here, because I kept watching this game, and I was thinking, like, this feels like on our worst day, like if we really regress back to like week 1, Oregon versus Idaho offensive line, this could be like our nightmare situation. This is what we would look like losing to Michigan this season, is how USC looked losing to Michigan, because it was just, their offensive line was just Swiss cheese. And it gave Miller Moss like no damn time. And it made like any kind of like actual completions that he was able to do, it felt like magic, like the most basic of completions. It felt like it was amazing he was able to get that off in time. And it's not necessarily because I think Michigan has like the greatest D-line, but they clearly got at least a good D-line at home on this day. And it was just causing his life hell. And then they got just barely enough runs off, big runs, big plays.
I mean, basically, yeah. Michigan's entire offensive production is three long runs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding about that.
And some like, refs,
it's not,
yeah.
Like, usually, like, when people say something like that, it's sort of a reductive thing. Like, I'm not kidding. They have, like, it's something like 80% of all of their production comes on three plays, and there are three, you know, touchdown runs where USC's, you know, defense, and I don't really think that USC's defense, you know, played a fantastic game. It's just like, that's how it's trash. Like,
yeah.
They're US, we're used Michigan's to them. Offense is it's oh, like, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, they're out of position on the first one. Michigan actually just on the second one, they just actually block it really well. And the safety takes a bad angle. And then the third one, it's what's his name? The UCLA transfer like has Mullings like wrapped up, and then he like slides off him like he's, you know, covered in oil. And then yeah. He just like runs the rest of the way. And it was just hilarious.
Yeah. You know? Aaron, they won this game with the quarterback Alex Orji, which is a great last name. He threw for 32 yards, 7 of 12, 32 yards. They won the game just by running through USC. Well, not even running through their ass. Like, effectively, it's like through three big run plays and just destroying their USC's offense. Like,
I mean, honestly, I think if they play any other defense, they lose this game. I don't love talking about this, but like the officiating was pretty one-sided in Michigan's favor.
I agree.
I mean,
there were so many face masks. They were even talking about it on the broadcast of like,
and like where they're spotting the ball. I mean, it's other states. It's not just like penalties they are and are not calling. It's like where they're spotting the ball.
I wonder why they're doing that.
I hate to even, you know, suggest that, because usually Michigan's like a really clean team, you know, play.
I don't think you need to believe in conspiracies. Simply the fact of it, you know, like there's plays that like all you need to do is flip a couple of those decisions, you know, like I'm just saying the fact of, you know, like if you just view those as coin flips. Right. Mm-hmm. If you view each officiating decision as a coin flip, you would expect, you know, 50% to go one team's favor and 50% to go the other team's favor. Instead, it was a game in which like 80% of them went in Michigan's favor. And so if you play this game, you know, 100 times, you would expect the coin flips, you know, to balance out. And so, you know, USC probably wins this game in, you know, right. And then
just imagine those coin flips are now big duffel bags full of money, and each one of those goes to the ref now. Well, that's also.
And then the third thing is that it took, this is the, you know, I think the real takeaway is that it took Lincoln Riley until the third quarter to get his head out his butt in terms of what the play calling, his game plan in this, his offensive game plan in this game was trash. Like I don't know what he was attempting to do the RPO offense with a quarterback who can't do it. And then he abandoned and tried to do a run offense into the teeth of a defense. That was the one good thing about Michigan. Yeah. And it took him until the third quarter to be like, well, maybe I should go to a quick pass game to exploit the fact that they don't have Sandra still anymore. And like suddenly they're score a touchdown, you know,
like in the second half,
then they throw alive. A pick six, then they throw a pick six, then they get a fumble, then they give up a fumble. So it's like, you know, that's, you know, holding stuff up. But like, then it's a two play touchdown, then it's a three play touchdown. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Like they should have been scoring more. Like, you know, obviously Michigan's defense is going to limit them to some extent, but it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. They start the game with 4 3 and outs. And then, you know, and then they finally kick a field goal. Like they finally drive the field. But even that one requires like two big passes to Zach Branch. They lose Mekhi Lemon on a kick return on a dirty hit, like, you know, but like exactly what we said at the beginning of the game, where like, you know, Michigan was going to have a hard, like everybody in the Big Ten is going to have a hard time with USC's receivers. And yeah. Michigan was like the most capable of dealing with them. And even Michigan had a hard time dealing with them.
Well, Tyrone Moore is earning that very, very, very recently signed contract. Now, let's in the same kind of vein. USC got some hype by beating LSU. Can the other LA team, the LA team that we are about to play, UCLA, do the same? It looked so. It looked like the UCLA Bruins were would at least be competitive if you looked at only the halftime score, 17-17. Or, I believe that was it. But then, no, the LSU really pulls away. And even if you were watching the game really, it kind of felt, in my opinion, that first half, like LSU, like it felt like you should be ahead more than this. Like, yeah. It's, like you should have more than 17 points. You're screwing up. And then on UCLA side, it felt like, I can't believe you were able to muster 17, like, or to get 17 points. It felt like an amazing feat that they were able to get to 17. And then the second half happened. And it was like, yeah, no, that feels about right. And I think it was, it goes to show that this LSU team, I mean, everyone kind of knows, like, yeah, it's got talent. But there's some pretty.
It's a sleepy start, baby.
The sleepy. It's like a panicked, wide-eyed start for LSU. Actually,
well, yeah. Yeah, the bender's over.
Yeah,
having watched this team twice now, like it's their quarterback. It's Nussmeier. It's I don't like to rely on stereotypes, but it's classic coach's kid thing where he actually doesn't have a ton of athleticism and his arm talent is not fantastic. And so he doesn't like there's throws for touchdowns in this game that are open. Like the receivers beat the defense. He's behind the defense. He just needs to like LSU should have had about like two more touchdowns in this game where all Nuss has to do is like throw the touchdown pass. And LSU's got 52 points in this game and he just can't make the pass. On the other hand, what he is a coach's kid, and he's really canny. And so UCLA multiple times like switches up the defense, like whatever LSU marched the field with on the last drive, UCLA changes up their defensive structure to adapt to that. And then Nuss changes what kind of passes he throws to then exploit that new defensive structure. So it's like, you know, they switch to cover three. So he's thrown underneath, you know, or, you know, so, you know, they beat him on a long 45 yard touchdown pass, you know, when they're playing single high. So they switch to cover three. Okay. So now they're in cover three. Well, he switches to throw an underneath pass. So they, you know, march the field. Oh, well now we're going to switch to cover two. Okay. So now he splits the safeties and goes up the middle. You know, it's like, he's a smart quarterback. And so, you know, he's adapting to UCLA and that's why it's like, he's scoring points in the middle and the late part of the game, but like he's leaving points on the board, you know, because he's not able to exploit, you know, the deficiencies in UCLA's defense. It all comes that, I mean, that's the big problem is that like LSU's not a good enough team to maximize their point potential unless they have a Heisman, you know, under center. And like, I'm sorry, Nuss ain't that. Like, he's not talented enough, but he's smart enough to exploit to figure out, you know, what the optimal thing to do is against any given defense. So,
and
because he's a coach's kid, he's been like breathing football since before he could talk. What? You know,
he's a freshman. You said
he's not a freshman.
What year is he?
I don't know. I think he's a junior. He's been around for a long time.
I was going to say
he's Doug Nussmeier's son.
Okay, I was just going to ask. It seems like there's no real room for improvement. Then he's kind of like, this is his.
Oh yeah, he's totally capped out. Like, okay, it's just this. He's been sitting. He's been like three different quarterbacks backup, and he's been, you know, living in a football household for 30 years or however old he is.
And UCLA, our next opponent. They don't look.
I know I've been talking for a long time about LSU. It's just they played two different Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
I figured it was useful to develop some LSU opinion.
Well, and honestly, right now is probably the time to talk about LSU because I don't think we're going to need to talk about LSU ever again because I don't think they're making the playoffs. Not out of the SEC. You know, maybe they'd get one of those other spots, but I honestly doubt it. I think there's too many like dice you need to roll to get that. Like you need too much luck for that team to make it all the way. UCLA is not good. I'll sell you that.
No.
UCLA,
is there something what are they good at?
Actually, you know,
what is UCLA good at?
No, that's not actually true, man. Like they are actually good at a number of things. Like they're athletic and they're talented at a number of positions, like more so than a lot of Big Ten teams. The problem they have a couple of like really fatal problems, though. Number one, they're running out of defensive linemen and they're trying to fill those gaps with linebackers, which means there's number one, no pass pressure. Number two, like they can't really stop the run. You haven't seen that yet because they've been playing really pass dominated teams. Like all just through a weird coincidence, the three teams that they've played have been like 2-1
Hawaii,
passing teams.
Indiana,
and LSU. They've all been pass dominated teams, and so it's this statistical aberration. UCLA looks like the best rush defense in the country. It's just because of the offenses that they played. But like I'm telling you, if you look at their defensive line, they're really it's unfortunate because it's because of Chip Kelly and also injuries. But so there's that. And then also their secondary is weird. Like they're it's the same thing is always true about UCLA. They're super athletic, but they have brain farts. And also I don't think their defensive coordinator is good at tying the front end and the back end together. And so they're dealing with their defensive line problems by blitzing a ton, but then the secondary, it's like the secondary doesn't know they're going to blitz. And so they're like frequently just like, wait a minute, you don't have anybody to cover that route, or like you're bailing out too deep, or, you know, stuff like that. It's like, they're not tied together. That's the defensive problem. The offensive problems are that like their offensive line is just garbage, just like pure, I mean, not human beings. I just mean like they're probably the worst.
I'll say it,
line in the Big Ten, which like is always going to cause you problems. So they can't run the ball like at all. And like, they can't, you know, do good job of pass protection, but like their wide receiver corps is one of the best in the Big Ten. Like, I think they have talented running backs. And then Ethan Garbers is like this. It's weird to watch this guy, 'cause he's totally Jekyll and Hyde. You know, like, I think he is actually a talented quarterback, and he will improvise some plays that are like, I mean, it's like watching like Cam Ward at Wazoo, not the Miami version of Cam Ward, somehow turned into a good quarterback, but I mean the like, if he tries to play in the pocket, like this is going to be terrible because the offensive line will get him killed, but then he'll run around and make a play and you're like, oh, okay, you know, or he'll run around and make a play and throw a pick and you're like, god damn it, Ethan, you know, like it's this Jekyll and Hyde stuff out of him. And so like the sum of all of that makes you think that UCLA is really bad, and frankly, yeah, sure, they are, but like it's not because it's like, oh, this team is totally bereft of talent, they're like this, you know, garbage, you know, Purdue level team. Like, nah, it's because like just the at specific areas they are like the worst possible areas, offensive line, defensive line, and the quarterback turns into a madman. Like,
I don't know if you're selling your kid. I get what you mean, but yeah. The other game I think that I was most into watching, and like I completely we all chose Boston College, which is very nice. We did not bring up that this was the Red Bandana game, which is of course the game that they dedicate to their player Wells
Crips.
Crother. No, well, hold on, Aaron. Wells Crother, who died in 9/11, saving people running in and out of the building, wearing his red bandana, his signature red bandana. And then so they all wear kind of red bandana style for the actual red bandanas. And then their numbers are also that same pattern. And usually it's a pretty dang good game. It's very emotional. They actually typically schedule a pretty good opponent on this. I remember a very good one against USC. I think it was the first one that was crazy good game, or at least a game where they came out and just kicked USC's butt. USC's always good for that, like, well, you know, they're not a very good team, but everybody knows USC, so you should schedule them for some kind of, if you have a memorial game or something, that's a really good team to schedule, because if you beat them, it'll look better than it actually is. But Boston College had a pretty riveting game against Michigan State, where Michigan State was, this was the team we've seen every week. It's just things kind of finally caught up to them, mainly having a young QB. And Boston College with Thomas Castellanos just coming out there and doing enough.
He did hit a pass into the, you know, left field, 42-yard pass to win the game.
Yeah, that's fun as hell. And I just love to see it. Boston College, I always like rooting for them. My friend went there. And I think they're a very American college football team. And on the red bandana game, it was eventually Michigan State had to lose. Their luck was kind of getting a little ridiculous. And it's probably going to be good for them. But any thoughts on this game here today? There's only so many.
I mean, you put it as just it was a game that was actually pretty similar, almost identical to the Maryland game, where it was on a per play basis, the other team is just grinding them out, because Michigan State's not, very good. And then Childs will hit a big pass, and it's like the only thing that's keeping him in the game. Until Childs, does something boneheaded. And then, it's like, kind of like I was saying with Garber, is like this Jekyll and Hyde thing, except for different reasons. With Garber's, because his offensive line, lets him down. Childs doesn't really have that problem. Well, his offensive line's not very good either. It's more like he's got the biggest arm in the Big Ten. It's huge. That dude was born to throw 70-yard passes. He loves doing it. He loves taking these 70-yard shots, and so they're never really out of the game. The problem is half of them land in the opponent's hands or want to. It's literally the end of the game. It's literally, the game loser is and all the Michigan State fans are just like, hey, no.
I mean, if you're a Michigan State fan, I think the goal is still very clearly, if we get to a bowl game, this is a huge freaking win. In our first year, we're ahead of schedule. It would have been a lot easier if you got this win, but I loved that Boston College one. Hell yeah, go Eagles. So a couple of games that, I certainly have nothing to say because I didn't, maybe I watched a second of any of these games, but 49-14 Ohio State, #3 Ohio State destroys Marshall, 56-0 Penn State destroys Kent.
The Ohio State Marshall one is a little interesting because it started out with Marshall looking pretty feisty.
That's true.
Their opening drive.
It was kind of a bullshit call, I remember, actually.
Yeah, there's a couple where the officiating goes Ohio State's way on both. There was like a punt that Ohio State muffs a punt that then gets called back on a pretty questionable illegal formation call. There's a couple spots where Marshall pretty clearly converted, and then they're like, no, you didn't, and they spot it like a yard back, and there's a couple more like that. Ultimately, reality sort of asserts themselves and Marshall shoots themselves in the foot. But Ohio State didn't look great, to start it out. Marshall was actually doing a decent job moving the ball, and Ohio State was getting stopped. And so it was interesting to watch the first half, anyway.
Compared to the 49-14 score, that completely erases that if you don't watch it. But I remember that first half was way actually closer.
Yeah.
And then
but that's it.
But Penn State, like I always say, holding someone to zero, doesn't matter who, is impressive. 56-0. I didn't watch any of that game. Excited to watch Penn State play their next game, I'll tell you that much. And then we had Indiana 52-14. I love my Hoosiers. Didn't watch any of that. Maryland
against Charlotte, which is terrible.
Charlotte. Yeah, I should mention that, I suppose. Maryland Villanova. I didn't watch any of this either, but this is 38-20 Villanova. This is not you'd want to score a little more than that, but I love that Maryland twin football. So that's good.
And this was a game that was 24-0 at halftime for Maryland. Okay. It was all I mean, you're right that, you know, Maryland probably should have slammed the door, you know, closed a little more. But basically, it came down to it's an FCS team, but basically it comes down to, you know, Villanova goes on. They get the ball to start the second half. They go on a drive and they turn the ball over on downs. Maryland then in what is effectively, you know, it's garbage time. But they then on their first pass throw a pick, you know, so Villanova's set up for, you know, to score. And then they can't. They only get a field goal out of a short field. But then, you know, they I forget why, but I think either an onside kick or like a muffed kick. But then they immediately get the ball again and they score a touchdown on a short field. So it's like Villanova gets like 10 points on, you know, on two freaky things. Maryland just immediately runs off 10 more points. Okay. So it's like Maryland's totally in control of this game the entire way. And then the last like 10 points that Villanova tacks on are like absolute garbage time. So I know that the game, you know, looks closer, but it's like I checked in on it too, because I had the same thought, but then looking at the game flow, like, nah, this doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of, it's one of those games that looks like that, but it's just, it's freaky events at the very beginning of the third quarter that have no meaning.
I get I would say would be the Iowa Minnesota game, which maybe look like you would assume Iowa was like completely dominant from second one, but actually I believe Minnesota had a lead at the half, if I remember correctly. And but Minnesota did really deteriorate in the second half. I think what it came down to is both of these teams are like, we'd rather run against you. Like, we want to do the safest, most conservative thing possible, and we want to rely on our defense. And Iowa just had more big hits just running the ball, especially in the second half, than Minnesota. And Minnesota, once they started losing that game, they lost the game. Iowa, they're my most frustrating. I like them maybe the least out of the entire Big Ten, just because they kind of bore me. I don't know. I get sick of watching the same game over and over, and I get sick of people not beating them. I'm always rooting for whoever Iowa is playing against, almost in any, I mean, not Washington, but that's probably the only exception. Well, I'll tell you this. Washington beat Northwestern 24-5. Northwestern, I'm still fairly positive.
Wait, hold on. Iowa Minnesota game. Yeah, absolutely. Game,
that was a big one.
You're right. It's basically like, you know, the first half is it's just the entire game is just gross. Like, you're right, the Minnesota was leading, you know, they got two touchdowns to Iowa's one in the first half, but it's still a gross, I mean, there's 12 combined punts in the first half, and there's a pick in there, and it's just, you know, Minnesota gets two touchdown drives to Iowa's one, and Iowa's one comes off of a short field, you know, so like Iowa's offense looked like complete trash in the first half, and Minnesota's, you know, offense looked better, and I was sitting there sweating your pick, and then the second half. But then in the second half, it completely reversed, because they found they kind of like switched running backs. Iowa went with Caleb Johnson, and I don't know, I hadn't really thought much about Caleb Johnson, but like, he could in the second half. You know, they rattle off three touchdowns in the second half, which is enough to win because they blanked Minnesota. I mean, here's Minnesota's drive chart in the second half: punt, 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 interception, end of game. I mean, they just shut them down. I mean, Minnesota couldn't do it. I mean, basically Minnesota couldn't do anything except for those two touchdown drives in the second quarter, like, at all. It's just that, you know, Iowa's deep offense went from nothing to they got two touchdowns or three touchdowns because they found a running back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He'll probably get hurt due to the angry Iowa running back hitting God.
Yeah. But he was fun to watch.
Damn, dude. That's so your dark.
Yeah.
No, that's an old meme.
I mean, that up. Yeah. And Hitler doesn't make these things up, you know. It's literally it's what happens. Yeah, Washington 24-5 any over Northwestern. They are.
Did you see the kick return from Northwestern?
Did I see? I was listening to this game on the radio. I do remember, but so no, I did not, and I don't really remember it either.
Northwestern played this game like in a completely cowardly manner. they get this huge like kick return, like they're on the. Like they go all the way to the goal line and they got nothing out of it. Like they're like two drives in a row. They're standing on the goal line. Yeah, here it is. Joseph Hyman returned for 96 yards. They turn it over on downs.
Wow.
Against Washington.
Yeah, they then cross the 50, throw an interception. And the drive prior, due to a Washington fumble, they have a short field. All they get is a field goal out of it, where they drive the ball to they get the ball on a fumble. They drive the ball to the Washington 1 yard line. It's, third and goal, the one, they get stuffed and they kick a field goal. They're down, 17-2 in the third quarter, and they kick a field goal, right? So then they give up a touchdown. That's when they get a 96-yard return. They go for it on fourth down. They get stuffed. So it's like, are you kidding me? And then the next drive, they throw an interception. And it's just tragedy.
It is.
It's like, I don't really think that Washington looked fantastic in this game, or anything. They wound up like, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, a whole bunch of punts, fumbles, interception,
Washington, they're at home and they only scored 24 against.
Everybody was slipping around like crazy on Washington's ice rink. I had two different people contact me via DMs that were like, oh my God, why did you tell me about, Washington's ice rink? Now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it because it's maybe not the ball carrier, but it's like somebody away from the play, but you'll notice people like slipping and falling down.
What day was their game on?
Saturday.
Saturday, September 21st. Like on every play, you will notice somebody losing their. Nope. They play on an ice rink. Oh, like on every play, you will notice at least one of the 22 players or one of the referees like go whoop.
I'll say this, Aaron. Yeah, you see long shadows on the field. It's possible those long shadows would have like some condensation in it, maybe, Who knows? But that's why I have them ranked at the very bottom of our bottom 11, Washington, right below Northwestern, which, yes, they did beat. But I just think if we're being fair and honest that Washington deserves that bottom spot. And then really on the bottom of my bottom five here would be above Washington would be Minnesota, Wisconsin, which maybe deserves a little. Who knows? Bruins, Purdue, which we can talk about. Purdue,
oh my God,
they in fact did lose to the Oregon State Beavers in a pretty embarrassing fashion. Oregon State had their way. I watched some of this game, but I was watching something else.
I wouldn't characterize it as Oregon State having their way.
What would you say about this one?
I mean, I know what the final score says, but like this was the. Oh my God, this game was infuriating to watch, like largely because Graham Harrell, the Purdue offensive coordinator, the air raid coordinator or the air raid quarterback under Mike Leach at Texas Tech, one of the one with, I believe, the highest passer rating for two straight years that Mike Leach ever had. The offensive coordinator, for USC, who's like the best one that they ever had under Clay Helton. That's saying much, I know, but like, throws the ball a million times, threw the ball a million times last year at Purdue, threw the ball a million times the first couple of games at. Just tries to throw all of that out. Like, I have no way of predicting this. And it goes for like an entirely like run based strategy in this game. Like I know, the you know, if you look at the box score, it will say that they threw the ball on a 2-1 basis. I have no idea how that could possibly be the case. Like, every play call out of Purdue was a run, and it was the same run. Like, it was the, like, it was so, you know, predictable. Now, they broke a bunch of them. Like, in fact, their, you know, their yards per rush attempt was huge. Like, they scored, like, you know, they got a bunch of big runs out of it. But like, the vulnerability that you know, Oregon State has is it with Hudson Card, especially given that there was like no pass rush was throwing the ball, and they just like refused to do it. Like, it was so like this game plan was, it was flipping nuts. And on top of that, they had the craziest. Did you see the interception in this game?
I didn't.
Oh my God. So he goes to throw a screen pass. It somehow bounces off of the running back's foot and magically lands in the defensive end's hands.
I did.
And he just walks into the end zone for it.
Wow.
I had to watch it like two or three times to even realize what the hell happened. Like, yeah, that was a crazy one.
So then like, and then the rest of the game is sort of as you expect, you know, Purdue couldn't stop Oregon State's just efficiency run game, but like, their stats are normal. They run for about 6 yards a carry, which is what I was expecting. They only throw the ball for about 6 yards a pass. They convert half their third downs. Oregon State's offensive production is nothing special. It's just like, Purdue needs to score more points in this game. They only convert 2 of their 9 third downs because they're not throwing the ball. Like, that was the problem, is that like, they would get these explosive runs, but then they couldn't get efficiency runs because it's like, well, I know what's going to happen here. They're just going to try the exact same run play and they would stop them. And well, it was just like, this is the stupidest game plan. Like,
it wasn't a problem if you chose Oregon State like Aaron and I did last week.
I felt like this was like a really bad beat, because like, how the hell was I supposed to know that Graham Harrell was going to lose his mind? Like,
and then we saved the best for last here. This is, of course, a game, yet again, I did not watch a single second of, because I was watching some other thing. But Rutgers, we got to give them the spot of honor. They are on the top tier here. Rutgers beats Virginia Tech 26-23. Still undefeated Rutgers. And we'll talk about, they have a huge game coming up this next week. We're all rooting from the dream of a 10-win Rutgers is still out there, though probably not going to happen.
Rutgers did their damnedest to try to lose this game.
Yeah, like, it looked like Virginia Tech
put up 16 points in the fourth frame.
Any thoughts on Rutgers? Are they going all the way, or are we going to see them in the Big Ten championship game?
I mean, this was the game that I thought they had the highest probability of losing, and they failed to lose it. So
there we go. All right, so there you have it. That was the results. Now we're getting into, I mean, every once in a while,
what are the results?
These are the results of all the games that happened last week, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you had the numbers up. I did.
Well, pretty soon we'll get up there.
Okay, I want to see these numbers.
Yeah, don't worry. But yeah, so we're getting to the point, though, where we're actually going to have only conference games. There'll be the random, like, Notre Dame thrown in there and stuff like that. But yeah, we're going to a lot fewer games to pick from, so it's going to get even more intense, especially when we get into
the picks.
That is right. It's time to pick the big bottom. We've got this week's slate of Big Ten games. We're going to make our picks, and then I will show y'all the results of last week. That's right. I'm waiting till the very last minute here.
Oh, man, because I'm like, yeah, I'm getting edged.
Oh, I know.
Hardcore, bro. I'm like, give me these numbers.
Oh, I can feel it, Aaron. I can feel your energy, and I love it. Okay. Rutgers versus Washington.
Oh, boy.
This is a pretty damn... Aaron, as always, I'm going to let you choose. I'll tell you this, though. So, you know, on paper, actually, this should be pretty good challenge. It's versus Washington.
I don't think so.
Washington's got to go all the way over to Rutgers. Rutgers is just historically known as kind of a laughing stock team. Like, they're just known as a team that's like, oh, they're so bad, to lose to Rutgers is bad.
Yeah,
we're hoping that's not the case, but yeah. So what do you think?
Well, you may remember, I'm fairly certain early on in the show, Hithloday said he was surprised that they got four in a row because they're 4-0.
I think I think they got a bye week. I'd have to look at it, but I think they're 3-0.
But he said they're going to win their next game as well. And if that's this game, I'm going with Rutgers because Hithloday said it earlier that they were going to win next week.
Well, Aaron,
I'm pretty sure he was talking about Rutgers.
It's a good matchup, honestly. And if they want to get to 10 wins, this is probably a win they need to get, especially at home. Washington definitely looks like a team that's ready to lose to someone. You just gotta be competent. And if you're competent, you can probably beat Washington.
Got it.
Especially because, you know, like against Wazoo, they had like freaking 10 penalties. They looked pretty sloppy there in a big game. That was even in Seattle. If they lose, maybe that, you know, them traveling on the road for their first like actual road game. I can imagine Washington losing. I think that both of you are going to want Washington to lose so bad that you're going to choose Rutgers. I'm going to zig here. I'm going to go with Washington barely beating Rutgers and looking hideous doing it, but being able to pull off the upset. So unfortunately, yes, I am choosing the Washington Huskies.
Gross.
The Sun Dodgers. Hithloday, who do you got in this one?
I got Rutgers.
Rutgers. Okay. I mean, I hope you guys are right. I hope you're right.
He's pretty confident, so I'm very confident.
I mean, I've watched some Washington football this season. They've looked pretty rough. Rutgers, actually, mainly I haven't because they've the games they've played, like, they haven't played anyone, really. Virginia Tech was the team they've played so far, and I didn't watch any of that one, so... Yeah, okay. I mean,
it's basically like these teams are very, when you throw at last year's stats, which advanced stats are not doing properly for Washington. Just look at this year's production. They're very evenly. Rutgers played away from home and Washington has really only played games in Seattle. Washington has looked shaky and Rutgers has, well, frankly, Rutgers has also looked kind of shaky against
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, basically, it took Virginia Tech throwing an interception at the end of the game to avoid that loss. But Rutgers did that one in Blacksburg. Rutgers won a game on the road. Basically, just Rutgers looks like a little stronger of a team. And they're playing this one in Piscataway, and this is the first time Washington's ever going to have to leave. And I mean, I'm sort of thinking that Piscataway is going to be the new desert.
Nice. You know? I love that. So it's got to be somewhere, you know. By the way, RIP ASU's undefeated season hopes. I knew it was going to catch up to them.
Yeah, to Texas Tech, the team that Wazoo hammered. So
That's right. Number 12, Michigan versus Minnesota. Michigan coming off that huge USC win. It gave them some more confidence. Maybe they'll cheat even more thoroughly in the future here versus these hapless little Golden Gophers. Who do you got, Aaron? Obviously, number 12, the ranked team is favored.
Yeah, I feel like I have to agree with that. Michigan.
I hate it, but I think you're right, and I think they're going to win basically the same way Iowa won. Like, kind of pull away at the end with some big runs. This would be like my favorite possible upset this week is if Minnesota beat Michigan. I would be so happy. I am starting to really not like Michigan, quite frankly. I don't know why. Probably because they cheat.
I don't like them for any particular reason at all. I just have to pick them because it seems like the smart pick.
They are. They're classic. They're as classic college football as you could get. I do like that. Like
Michigan, sure, okay.
Big house. But, I don't know. Do you got Minnesota getting the upset here, Hithloday?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No one does. For obvious reasons, too, I feel. It's just they're a bad team, and they're on the road against a team that does enough well.
Well, there's nothing that Minnesota does that, like, matches up well.
No. And you literally saw them kind of play the same game that they will be playing again. Like, I think it'll be pretty similar.
It's also like Minnesota's won this game, I think, like three times since 1978.
Oof.
It's like they never win this game, you know?
That is hellish. That is a terrible existence. Oh, I almost skipped past Indiana versus Maryland. I could just stop right now because I know where Aaron's going right now. He loves those Terps, but Indiana undefeated right now. And best season they've had, best start of the season they've had in many, many, many years, I would say, with wins over UCLA and dominating wins over everybody they've played.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Bad. I can't go against them. I have to hit them Terps extra hard. I'm going Terps.
Hitting the Terps. You think it's going to be a wake up call for the Hoosiers? Okay. I suspect
severe injury.
Oh God. What a prediction. That's going to be terrible. I hope you're not right, but
I'm wrong.
That's so terrible. If a helicopter is called out of nowhere. Oh God. I hope you're not right. Indiana. I love Indiana. I really would love for this to be like them to make it to the Big Ten championship game, lose to us, and still be allowed into the playoffs. That's my dream season for Indiana. And I think they're going to win. I think you're going to win because their offenses looked legit. And I think Maryland has looked a bit shaky in that department and in many other departments. Hit the day. Sure. Who do you got? Indiana versus Maryland.
I've got Indiana. But I think I do think that Indiana has some flaws. Like I think they will be exposed, or they will become exposed isn't the right word, but like they will become more relevant when they play better teams. I just don't think that Maryland is very good. Like
that Michigan State game especially kind of opened.
Yeah, that Michigan. You know, honestly, like while I don't think that Villanova game really was that final score was misleading, that no, they really did have that game in hand. They played two bad opponents, which were UConn and Villanova. So sort of like throw those out. They were in the same struggle fest against Michigan State that Boston College was, you know, where they should have put them away and then failed to. And then Virginia's not a good team. They failed to score more than 27 against them. I mean, they won. But basically, like, they're 3-1 against a weak schedule. Like, I don't really think that they solved their quarterback problem. And I still think the same thing that I think about Billy Edwards. Like, I think that this guy's numbers are mirage. And I guess I am curious to see some of the things that I saw about Indiana's defense versus UCLA, which I think can get got. It's just that UCLA was not in a position to exploit them. Whether, you know, if I'm right about Edwards, then Indiana won't have any difficulty with Edwards. On the other hand, if I'm wrong about Edwards and I'm right about Indiana's defense having some flaws to it, then we could see a shootout here. But I just really don't think that Maryland, I think, you know, really the reason why Michigan State beat Maryland was that their secondary was not able to reload, which was, if you recall me talking about Maryland with Trey, like that was the big question for them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like yet another year in which they're going to have to reload, you know, what was a good secondary, but they lost again all their talent to the NFL. And I just don't think they did. I think this crop of players in the secondary, you know, they whiffed. And so I think, and that's what Indiana's really good at. Like really, like Rourke is just, you know, he's really clicking. The receivers for Indiana are really good. And the staff is really crackerjack at, you know, how to exploit your defensive problems. And I just think that Indiana's just, they're passing a game is going to be, it's going to be Stein-esque, you know, that's just going to be, you know, efficient, a bunch of like 15 yard passes. They're going to score on, you know, something like 70% of their drives. And, you know, there's really going to put the squeeze on Maryland. And I don't think Maryland's going to be able to score enough points to keep up, especially because I really don't think that Edwards is the quarterback that his numbers against bad teams are suggest that he is. Like, I really think this is where the bubble goes burst. Although I am curious, maybe it doesn't.
We'll see what happens. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think if Indiana loses, I think their fans will be a little bit shell-shocked. Yeah, I gotta say, that's the best part about like being in the Big Ten is like, you know, seeing these, meeting these other teams that I would have never paid attention to, Indiana or Illinois, and now I really like them. Purdue versus Nebraska. Now, Nebraska coming off that huge loss, well, not huge loss, but, you know, another gut-wrenching close loss at home this time to Illinois, an Illinois team that's plucky as hell that we all love. Purdue lost to Oregon State. But maybe they'll win here. They are at home.
I can't get over this guy. I think I have to go with Nebraska.
By this guy, you mean whatever. Is he Harry the Husker or something?
Whatever this whatever this mascot is, it's just so funny and fun that I'm like,
this white man who's putting up his finger like, yeah,
I just can't get over it, so I have to stick with it. I'm sorry. Maybe next week, but this week I have to go with Nebraska.
The scariest bouncer you've ever seen in a hick club, basically.
I'm not going to this club. Like, are you kidding? Look at this dude.
I don't think this club has let me in. This bouncer's let me in. No, he's really scary.
He's smiling.
That's the scariest part. Is he's smiling, but you can see the hate in his blue eyes.
It's because he's wearing a red hat that you say that.
His blue eyes, red hat, and blonde hair. I don't know, man.
Pale white skin.
and it's also just his skin matches his white shirt. I don't know, man. He scares me.
Boy.
Do you think Nebraska is winning this one, Hitler-day?
Wait,
has Purdue spurned you enough? I'm picking Nebraska.
Yes, I am also picking Nebraska.
Yeah.
No, Purdue's like terror bad.
Purdue's
like,
bad.
Okay. Trash fire.
Bad. I mean, honestly, like I think Nebraska should have beat Illinois, you know, last week. If you look at, you know, win expectancy, if you look at, you know.
You could just watch the way they were moving the ball. Like, they were moving the ball so much more effectively until it wasn't. But a lot more than Illinois.
You know, they had some bad red zone luck, and, you know, it's basically I do think their defense, like I was ranting about, like I think their defense is probably like needs to take a long look in the mirror because it's probably not as good as they need it to be. And they expected it to be, and I expected it to be, but like they're not gonna have any problems with Purdue, like Jesus Christ, like Graham Harrell's loss is fool mind, like.
That Northwestern Purdue game looms large. That's going to be the bottom of the barrel bowl, possibly. We'll see what happens. But so we all got Nebraska because we know ball. That's why.
Unless it's a one score game, in which case.
then Purdue's got it. Congratulations. Number 13, USC versus.
My favorite comment about the Nebraska-Illinois game afterwards was that, going back some number of years, that Nebraska is 2-19 in their last 21 one score games, which seems statistically impossible. and the response to that was, I know. How did they win the two?
I love it. One thing I hated, though, is that they kept saying, remember, Nebraska's last ranked win came in 2000, and I believe it was 2016. And it was the game that we went there with Dakota Prukop. That was their last ranked win, which is insane. Number 13, USC versus Wisconsin. That is right. USC will be at home in the Coliseum going against Wisconsin. Wisconsin coming off of a bye after losing to Alabama, pretty big, and losing their starting quarterback for the season, Tyler Van Dyke. Aaron, who do you got here? You think Wisconsin will be able to brush off all that bad
energy from through their bye and beat the USC Trojans here?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Sure? Yes. No. No. No.
Okay. No.
Because I just remembered it's UCLA who is a stinky doo-doo pants.
Yeah.
USC UCLA. Is like got some comeuppance coming up, I guess, or something. So I'm going USC.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Good logic there. I'm going with USC as well because I just don't think it'd be.
Actually good logic.
Yeah.
if you remember. Had forgotten which one was which. Yes.
Right. And then he remembers. Yeah. Solid logic. I remember what I've seen Wisconsin do this season, and that will make me believe that USC should be able to. However, I reserve the right to not be shocked whatsoever if Wisconsin just goes in there and just beats them. Because that also kind of feels pretty USC. But I bet you people will show up for this game, like USC fans. I actually think there's enough good energy right now that they may have a real home field.
I was going to say, the one thing that I have seen footage of are USC fans seemingly this season, and they all seem pretty pumped up
until they weren't that last time. But yeah, I mean, they were the ones with tans in Michigan, like you could really see, and they had their shirts off a lot of them.
There was
I think the Coliseum will be filled with red. Lots of red.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Do you think the red team will win?
Yes.
I think USC will win. Yeah.
If you were to say
there's just nothing going on. I mean, Wisconsin was a bad team before they lost their quarterback. Although, if there's a scenario in which Wisconsin wins, it's that Fickell and Longo are managing the offense so bad that the backup quarterback turns out to be much better. the double reverse secret probation, you know, the like the bet against the bad coach, you know, kind of way. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, probably not. Sorry, Wisconsin fans. We know you're passionate. Michigan State versus number 3 Ohio State. Sure, Michigan State lost in the red bandana game, but any team would lose in the red bandana game to Boston College. Now they're playing against number 3 Ohio State. This would be a huge, huge win for Michigan State and Jonathan Smith, who's trying to, you know, build this program up after just thinking it over this season. Aaron, do you feel like believing in young Aiden Shiles as he attempts to you know, lead the Spartans over the Buckeyes?
I mean, wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be something?
Do I believe in miracles this week? Do I believe in cold, hard reality is the question. I think I'm going to have to pick cold hard reality and say Ohio State's gonna win this game.
Yeah, I really don't.
Maybe miracles are not real.
Yeah, because the miracle would be what would happen here is you would want it to be a shootout, because I do think Ohio State, even if it takes, you know, three quarters randomly, like everything's just going wrong and there's bad weather and just some random, you know, like plays just going off someone's fingertips or something like that, and it takes forever for their offense to wake up, I still think they're going to score a good amount of points. The only chance Michigan State has in this is if Giles has an amazing freshman game where he all the luck goes on his side and he just can't miss. And none of those bad plays comes up and he just wins the shootout. I want to say that's possible. It'd be fun. I want to live in that world, but it's not. We don't live in that world. Michigan State's going to lose this game at home. I don't want to, but I want to win the overall end of the season pick'em challenge. So I'm going to have to go with the sure thing, Ohio State. Any belief that Michigan State could pull this off? Hitler Day,
I mean, there's always a chance, but no,
a chance.
Wouldn't yeah. be smart to take them. Like, yeah, no. I mean, Ohio State has the second. I mean, the one thing that will, you know, always keep Michigan State in the game is Aiden Childs' arm. And the one, you know, and the factor that, you know, most effectively shuts that down is secondary that can keep up with the receivers and turn some of those dumb throws into interceptions. Ohio State has, so rest of it, like, Ohio State shouldn't have any real difficulty moving the ball in this defense. Buckeyes shouldn't have any difficulty, really, with the Michigan State run game. They should absolutely wallop this offensive line. Charles might make some off-schedule plays. He's not a bad scrambler. He's a good athlete. Like, I think that Childs is a better quarterback than Howard is.
Yeah.
But that's it, like, in terms of, yeah. like, you know, every other element of these two matchups is... favors Ohio State significantly, and on top of that, like, Childs is his own worst enemy. So even that, you have to take back a point on the quarterback comparison. So
yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
The only thing I'm hoping for in this game is that Childs hits one of his crazy bombs early enough so that the game is extended, like, late into the second quarter, maybe even the third quarter, so that I have some real charting data on Ohio State. Like,
you got point, none right now, do you?
I've got basically none. Like all their games are basically over by the, you know, mid second quarter, and mm-hmm. and like, yeah, I've got pathetic.
After this, they play data. Iowa, which yeah, could be
they'll at least keep it late
for half the yeah. side of the ball, you know.
Yeah.
So we all got Michigan State, unfortunately. No one was brave enough.
No,
we're now all this game.
Michigan State.
Oh wait. Oh yes, right. We all got Ohio State. Now this would be. This could be a fun game. I hope it's a fun game. It probably won't be.
But sure.
Wouldn't it be a fun game? Number 9 Penn State versus number 19 Illinois. I mean, hey, they're both ranked. Penn State looked vulnerable in, like, one of their games.
Two. Uh-huh. I think you could argue that they
oh, yeah.
West given Virginia. What we know about yeah. West Virginia, they should have, you know, hammered West Virginia a lot harder than they
there's
did.
There's a weird delay, too, that kind of
that's threw true.
Things up. Yeah.
West Virginia's had weird delays in both of their home games. Like, you know.
That's weird. Aaron, they're both ranked. You know I love Illinois. Penn State is undefeated. I mean, as is Illinois. Illinois just coming off that big win in Nebraska. Brett
These Bielema, are two undefeated teams?
Undefeated mm-hmm. teams. Top 25 teams. It's tough.
Got to go Illinois. I don't Oof. Think Penn State's got it in them to keep it undefeated. It just doesn't feel right. Something about it stinks.
I would love freaking Illinois to win this. I really want them to win.
Well, let's dream hard, big boy. Let's do this together.
I will dream with you, but then I'll wake up and in the cold, you know, realness of reality, such a stupid sentence, I will have to choose Penn State. I think it'll be ugly. I don't like. There's two options in this. This game will be either really, really ugly, but Penn State will pull it out in the end, or
phrasing,
or Penn State will just blow them out, and Illinois will just
phrase,
or you know, Penn State will just blow their back out.
Right.
So, what do you got here for they? Any belief that Illinois that they're their undefeatedness can survive this week?
I will note Illinois does have a weird history of winning this game
really
as underdogs. Yeah, they've actually won this game like I think 5 times this century as underdogs. Nice. Like specifically as, you know, not just won the game but won while, you know, they were like heavily favored to lose, including I think like not all of them at home, like I think it like 2 or 3 of them in State College is this
damn game
is so like, I don't know, there's kind of a weird history there,
so the, therefore you're choosing Illinois.
No I'm choosing Penn State. Like, so like I think again, they shouldn't be undefeated, even against Kansas, which I hindsight yeah. shows this is not really a good team. They needed some lucky interceptions. They needed lucky interceptions against Nebraska to not lose that game. I do think that Penn State's kind of a more shaky team. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. Like, I think both of these teams are pretty mid, you know, to be honest with you. I think that Illinois' best strategy, it's just that, like, Penn State is just more of the team that Illinois is, where where both of them, their best strategy is just like slowly matriculating the ball down the field and trying to hold the ball away from them. And then eventually they have to throw the ball down the field. And like, I just think that, like, you know, Penn State is better at that than Illinois is. There's no matchup advantage that favors, you know, Illinois. Like, there's no, there's nothing. Yeah. There's no matchup advantage that favors Illinois. Like, they just want to play the same game, and Penn State's just better at it. It would, you know, the scenario for Illinois winning this game is they get lucky. Which
the great like, college, football
which definitely podcast. Could happen. It's just like, you don't bet on a team getting lucky. Look, it's not.
The great college football podcast, Solid Verbal, always says you have to have a reason to actually choose the other team. Like, you can't just say the flaws of one team and be like, and therefore I bet the other team's going to win. It's like, well, you have to have some faith in some part of the other team that they're better in some way or will be able to take advantage. And some. And in this one, I just don't really see anything.
The scenario is that, like, I think Illinois' wide receiver core is better than Penn State's wide receiver core. And so if Altmaier turns out to be the quarterback I don't like Altmaier. That's actually the basic reason that I've been betting against Illinois.
To be fair, I like him because you could see how much is stacked against him, again, including his lack of physical ability, that I like rooting for him quite a bit. That's why I like him.
I mean, like, I'm 2-2 on picking Illinois games. I mean, I picked them to win against Central Michigan and Eastern Illinois, of course, and they won those. But, like, you know, I've lost picking against Illinois twice now on Kansas and Nebraska. Now, I think Kansas and Nebraska both turned out to sort of be worse teams, and also Illinois got some lucky interceptions. I think maybe Illinois' defense might be, you know, ticking up a little stronger than I thought, and I think maybe their run game is maybe figuring out a couple of things. Fagan is turning out to be like a pretty good running back for them. We only saw him a little bit at the end of the year, so like, he's turning out to be pretty solid. But the real question regarding whether I got something fundamentally wrong about Illinois is, I watched all of Altmaier's film last year, and I watched him as a true freshman at Ole Miss. And like, I didn't see any improvement in like the core fundamentals of his throwing motion. And I thought he was a below average quarterback. I thought there was a reason why when Paddock, the backup, came in, that Paddock performed so much better than he did with the same tools. Right? Like, when you get a natural experiment like that, right? Like, same quality of competition, same receiver, same offensive line, like, everything's the same. You just switch out the quarterback, and the new quarterback comes in and lights the world on fire. Like, that gives you really good data about like what was wrong with the previous quarterback, and it like confirms what you had been seeing about like, this guy's throwing motion is trash. Like, I still, and then I watched the Altmaier film, I still think his throwing motion is trash. I still don't think that guy can throw down the field. I still don't, you know, I don't think he can access the advantages that having good receivers like Franklin and Bryant gives them. And I they've got more good wide receivers in Franklin and Bryant than Penn State does. Like, Penn State's got one good receiver, they have one good wide receiver, who's Julian Fleming, but Aller doesn't want to throw the ball to him. Aller just wants to throw it to the tight end, Warren. But like, that's probably enough. Like, and I don't know, if they get in trouble, they could probably activate their passing game. Like, that's the scenario for Illinois to beat them, is that if I'm wrong about Altmaier, and he throws the ball to their wide receivers, and I'm also right about Penn State's secondary, you know, being trash. But you know what that would also require is for Illinois' offensive line to be able to hold up to Penn State's pass rush. And that's where I think just this whole thing falls apart. Like, this whole dream scenario of Illinois pulling off the upset based on Altmaier hitting up, you know, winning the passing battle, is that you are not going to win against Penn State's pass rush. I've watched Illinois' offensive line. It ain't going to happen. Like, you know, that's where this all goes up in flames. So I guess if on, you know, next Tuesday, what we're talking about is how the hell did Illinois, you know, win this game? And do we need to sell stock in Penn State? What I'll be telling you is sell stock in Penn State's pass rush. Like that's what, yeah, you know, but if Penn State's pass rush is nominal, which, you know, it should be, then, I mean, they should just crush them. Altmyer running for his life, not able to throw the ball to these guys, you know, standard Penn State win.
And if next Tuesday we're talking about Illinois winning, I'm telling Illinois fans to buy tickets to the Big Ten championship game because you're there, buddy. And the final game we will be picking, that is right, UCLA versus number 8. We went up one, number 8, Oregon. We will be playing.
Is Mizzou still ranked ahead of Oregon?
I don't know. I haven't actually looked up the... I don't really pay attention to this. I'll look it up right now. But Aaron, are you going to be a trader? I know you like to be a contrarian. You're on
the
podcast, but
we're about to see an absolute beatdown. This will be a tragedy for the UCLA
Bulls. Oh, thank God.
As Oregon will be scoring minimum 77 points.
Oh, my God. I love this. I love the side of you.
And that's just how it's going to be. We're probably going to see, you know, 21 points.
Zero?
Yeah, we're going to see 21 points just from special teams. Like, just special teams is going to give us 21 points. Easy peasy, lemon squeeze all day long.
Holy cow. I love that, Aaron.
Yeah.
That is great. By the way, the team's ahead of us. Number 7, Mario Cristobal's Miami, Florida.
Oh, boy.
Boo.
Mm-hmm. Number 6, Ole Miss. Number 5, Tennessee. Number 4, Alabama. Number 3, Ohio State. 2, Georgia. And number 1, Steve Sarkisian's Texas Longhorns.
Fucking A, bro.
Yeah, Texas, baby. I know you want to start
Texas
your new
football
Texas.
Seems to be back.
Yeah, that'll be quite, if it's national championship game, Oregon versus Texas, I don't know who you'll choose.
I've played that I've played that game in College Football 25, and I'm not joking. Longhorns are a hard, hard win.
Good to know.
They are a tough team in the game.
We got a scouting report from Aaron there.
Yeah, they update the roster regularly.
Did you win, or did you play with Texas?
No, I've played Ducks. I have both lost and won that game. I've played the Natty Champ. Couple of different times, always against the Longhorns, because I just feel that that's actually what's happening.
Okay.
It's a tough win, man. It goes either way.
Do they have a little, you know, like little pixelated Matthew McConaughey in the game?
No, it's not pixelated, but he is the halftime show, full nude, 50-yard line playing the bongos.
Okay, now I know you're lying. Now I know you're lying. Okay. Well, I'm also choosing the Ducks. There's really no reason to choose UCLA. They struggled against Hawaii. They were embarrassed by Indiana. They held up for exactly one half against LSU and then scored zero points. Home field means nothing to them.
No.
And the Ducks look like they're pretty freaking good, especially hopefully the O-line continues their development. Matthew Bedford, it appears he was injured during practice a little bit, so he probably won't be added to the rotation, but it seems like we're in a pretty good spot right now. God willing, knock on wood. Even if we showed up with our week one O-line, I still think that iteration of the Duck football team would still beat UCLA.
Oh, yeah. Would still beat UCLA.
Maybe wouldn't be as comfortable, but I still think we'd beat
them. You'd just
be
like, yuck, here we are again.
Because I think our defense would shut them down.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, they're scoring 0 points.
And I think there's going to be a lot of Duck fans in the stands, honestly, because I think there's a lot of Duck fans in that area. Hithla Day, you're going to be a trader and choose the Bruins?
No, I've got Oregon.
The
stuff to watch out for in this game. UCLA makes up for when UCLA is on defense and Oregon is on offense. UCLA is making up for the problems that they have in their defensive front, both injuries and what the inherited roster from Chip Kelly is, by throwing their glut of linebackers at every problem that they have, which means
you have said that for a year, so that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's like there's like a dozen linebackers on the team.
It's the only time you've ever said that for any team we've ever covered, too. So you can tell it's an anomaly.
I mean, they're down to like one like good defensive. In what is structured as a four down front, they're down to like one good defensive tackle. They never get any pass pressure. And then rather than restructuring as like a 2-4 or as a three down front, although they bizarrely play like a quasi tight and a bunch of downs, they just keep the four down like type of structure, but like just replace defensive linemen with linebackers, because it's like, well, that's what we got. And so like, but they're too tiny, or they'll swap out a defensive tackle for a defensive end and just have this guy who's like 60 pounds too light standing in the middle of the line, and then he just gets cleared out, you know, obviously. So anyway, so obviously that, you know, creates big opportunities for the offense, so you know, look out for that. But then the way that they sort of, I don't know, keep you guessing on offense, is that they just throw extra bodies at every problem. You know, they're like, well, we've got more linebackers, so it's lots of different, you know, defensive configurations in the front, like just tons of them. Like, I mean, I've got like six different independent defensive configurations in the front, and then they blitz a lot, like a ton of, like the blitzes never get home or anything, but I mean, they never get home, like not even against Hawaii were they getting home.
I love that.
But you know, I'm saying in terms of for Oregon fans, what to look out for. Like, you know, in terms of, hey, what's the status of the offensive line? Like, hey, let's see blitz pickups, you know, let's see good communication. Let's see, you know, because UCLA is going to throw the kitchen sink at them in terms of, you know, trying to get to the quarterback, you know, with wacky, you know, stuff. And hey, Will Stein, do your job. You know, let's get some, you know, hot routes. Let's get some easy completions, you know, built into this. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, I don't really think UCLA is going to be able to get anything going inside the structure of their offense. And I think Bieniemy's, you know, offensive play calling is probably too complex for, you know, what this offense is capable of doing. The, you know, where basically they've ever moved the ball, is Ethan Garber's doing off schedule stuff. Now, yeah. Like he's no Dorian Thompson Robinson in terms of like scrambling. But like, it's more like I just breaks the play and then finds one of his talented receivers on the scramble drill. So it's, you know, that, like, you know, Oregon fans will probably be like disappointed at some point in the game where it's like Garber sort of extended the play, run around, and then found somebody downfield. And you're gonna be like, God, you know, like we had him off the field and he gave up like a 17-yard pass. Like, damn it, you know, like, and the question,
but then is it could be like a strip fumble too, or a
pick, yeah, sure,
too. Like, yeah,
yeah. I mean, like, there's gonna be chaos stuff like that, you know, like, and so, like, I'm trying to like forewarn you that like there's probably going to be some heartbreaks, you know, in the game like that. There's probably also going to be some chaos, and the question about like how much UCLA scores in this game is going to come down to like, I mean, maybe just like how lucky they get on such plays, you know, like whether, you know, how many of those turn into interceptions, you know, versus how many of those turn into like, oh my God, they connected on that damn scramble drill, you know, kind of deals. But like, yeah, that's what I would be, you know, looking at, you know, like how sticky is Oregon's, you know, defense on broken plays. Like that's, you know, determines whether or not it's like, you know, UCLA scores 3 points versus like, oh, how do they score 30 points in this game? You know, kind of
God,
deal.
I hope they don't score 30. God,
it's going to be
like a backdoor cover, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a 6-sack, 3-interception, fumbles kind of a game.
I was going to ask.
We're taking them all in for six. This is a 77-0 game all day long.
Okay. Oh, dang. Okay, so I was going to at the very end ask for specific predictions, but oh, Aaron's got six fumbles.
From just UCLA. No.
Six sacks.
Oh, six sacks.
Three interceptions. Ooh. Two fumbles. All of them.
Solid.
Interceptions, fumbles, going back for points.
Oh, against, dang.
Yeah. Our defense is going to annihilate. So you're saying
three pick sixes and then two scooping scores.
You got it, baby doll. There it is.
Human pear tree. I love it. My super specific prediction is that Dylan Gabriel has a better stat line, or like, you know, has more yards thrown, more touchdowns than Garbers. Oh, wait, I said Dylan Gabriel. I meant to say Dante Moore. That's the actual fun part of this. So that our backup, you know, QB, the ex UCLA Bruin, will have a better stat line in garbage time. Like, he'll accumulate more. Well, garbage. That's what that's what I'm hoping for here. The level of, and plus, it just seems like kind of a sassy thing Dan Lanning would do. Like, really get our backup in there, you know.
Does he start the game?
Nah, that would be awesome.
Start the game because they're going to go for the record of Dylan Gabriel starts.
That makes sense.
That would be hysterical.
That would be hysterical. Hitler Day, do you have a specific prediction?
That was a good one. The Dante Moore versus Ethan Garber.
I hope it's right. Probably not, but it could be.
There will be a screen pass. Oregon will score a touchdown on a screen pass. UCLA is very vulnerable to screen passes because of how blitz-centric their defense is.
We got one.
How many points will they score on a screen pass?
Fine. I'll go even farther. They will score two touchdowns. At least two touchdowns will be scored on screen passes.
Okay, at least two. I like it.
I'm gonna actually write these down like a producer should. You know, Aaron said six sacks, three interceptions,
two fumbles,
all points
back for points.
I said Dante Moore better stat line, and then yeah, we got two TDs on screens. I love it. Hopefully,
I actually felt LSU, one of the primary ways that they left points on the table, one of the two primary ways I already mentioned, which was they, you know, were not able to hit deep balls that where the receiver had, you know, dusted the coverage and just thus, you know, didn't connect, you know, which, hey, I think probably you'll see that out of Dylan Gabriel. But the other one was there were a lot of opportunities that they had to throw screens against the blitz that they just failed to do because those weren't just part of the playbook. And I was like, LSU, why don't you have any screens in your playbook? Like, UCLA looks very vulnerable to this, and they just didn't. And I was like, LSU's screwing up.
LSU fans are going to run Brian Kelly out by putting him in a big bowl of jambalaya or something like that and roll him down a hill or something like that, because he ain't gonna last there. Now let's get into the results, the long-awaited results. Now, here was last week. So Hit the Day had a 2-point lead over me. He had a 5-point lead over Aaron. 41 to 39 to 36 is where we lasted. Now this is big, Aaron. This was the worst week for history, for Hith Laday this season thus far. He only got 8. You and I got 9 apiece, so we did do a little bit better than him. That takes the final score here, 49 to 48 to 45.
We're I'm still in it.
A little bit closer. You're still in it. You chose pretty differently this week, too, than both of us. So maybe that'll.
Oh, I did. Dang, I'm fucked.
That's good. You have to. You have to, man.
I have to.
So we differed on 3 games, right? We differed on the Rutgers Virginia Tech game, which you picked up. We differed on the Purdue Oregon State game, which you picked up. And then we differed on the Iowa Minnesota game, which
I picked up. Yeah. That's right. That is correct. And then Aaron and I were pretty similar, except he chose Virginia Tech. I chose Rutgers, but then I chose Minnesota. He chose Iowa. So we'll see what happens.
What do we differ on this week?
This week, I'll pull out the big ones here. I mean, we were all pretty similar in a lot of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I was the black sheep for the first one because I chose Washington over Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. I chose Terrapins.
Yeah, you did choose the...
Y'all did not.
I got it here somewhere, I'm sure. Yeah, that's right. You were the black sheep there. You chose the Terrapins. We all chose USC. We all chose Ohio State. And then Aaron chose Illinois
over... Oh, yeah, that's right.
Other than that, so like Hitholday and I are exactly...
Wow, Adam. So you got to... Yeah. You got to root for Washington this week.
Hell yeah.
To tie it up, huh?
I like that. I think I'll hate it, but I think Washington's got it.
I mean,
I'll be tied.
I mean, it's just so advanced stats heavily favor Washington, but Vegas favors Rutgers, which tells you advanced stats have failed to take out Rutgers' last year stats and take out Washington's last year stats.
Stats. I don't believe in stats. Anyways, please go over to Addicted to Quack to read Duck Dive. Duck Tape, the reviews of every single week of Oregon football, written by the great Tristan, I do believe, right?
Yeah, Tristan's doing the post-game write-ups each Tuesday morning. Obviously, didn't have one this week, although he did write up just the statistical analysis of he did the offensive line in one article, and then the, you know, basically everybody else in another article, and that's up on Addicted to Quack.
That has been like the discussion over Oregon. It's like offensive line. Okay. And the rest of the team.
What went up today, I hired a hockey writer to cover the hockey team because the best uniforms in sports.
Everyone knows that. Everyone
like all of sports. And so Thomas put up both of those articles and we got photos of the uniforms.
That's great. Dude. That's great. Maybe I can be your official photographer. I live like two blocks away from the rink. And
the rink exchange. Games.
Yeah, there you go.
They beat the Huskies 5-1 in both of their games last year.
That's right. Is it called like the Battle on I-5 or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think it deserves a name. I think it just deserves like angry growling.
Yeah, I agree. Because if we lose, I don't want to talk about the game at all. Aaron,
yo,
take us out on some words of wisdom, my man.
Words of wisdom.
We'll stay here in silence until you think of it. I don't care.
Look, here's the deal. All right. Okay. UCLA is trash fire, garbage team. Filled with horrible individuals.
Oh, okay.
All of our guys?
Yeah.
Perfect gold. Can't touch them. Clean cut individuals. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the deities of the universe will be on our side. And that's it.
Wise as hell. Wise as hell. And unbiased. I've been
feeling very wise lately. My connection to the universe seems to be a flickering light bulb in the distant closet.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Illinois win will realign you, my man. I can feel it.
Dude, I hope so. I think if Illinois pulls it through, then maybe I should start following it.
Aaron for president. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Bye.